This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes. Today we continue with our study, in which we've been involved for several days, on entering the church. We must remember that the church, in the eyes of God, is the greatest institution in this world. It was planned by God in eternity. It was bought by the blood of Christ. There is no greater privilege that we as human beings have than to be a member of the blood-bought body of Christ. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the Bible says, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Now, as we think about entering the church, we're thinking about people who are saved by the grace of God. We have emphasized in the 2 preceding lessons the fact that grace means the unmerited favor of God. If a person is saved, he is saved because of the mercy and compassion, because of the favor of God. None of us can be saved by our own merit. In that sense, none of us can be saved by our own good works. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, the Apostle Paul declared, "The grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men." Notice that salvation is offered to all men by the grace of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, "For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." As we've previously noted, this of course does not mean that all men will be saved, as Jesus made clear in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Nor does it mean that there is no work to be done. It does not mean there are no acts of obedience in which man must be involved. For while the Bible teaches that Christ offers to be the Savior of everybody, as a matter of fact, He is the Savior only of the obedient. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, in referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, the writer declared, "Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. And being made perfect, He became unto all them that obey Him the author of eternal salvation." In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 to 9, in referring to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with the angels of His power in flaming fire, Paul made clear that those who do not obey the gospel shall suffer punishment, even everlasting destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of His might. Notice the necessity of obeying the gospel. So you see, the fact that we are saved by the grace of God does not mean that everybody will be saved. It does not mean that there are no works of obedience to be done. It is the obedient believer who is saved. A man may be a believer and still be lost. This we find in John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. For the Bible there tells us that many among the rulers believed on Him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not confess it. That is, they would not confess the faith with their mouth, which they had in their hearts. They would not confess it lest they be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise or the glory of men more than that of God. So you see, in the light of the fact that according to Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, that anyone who will not confess the Lord Jesus Christ will be denied by Him before the Father in heaven, these men, in spite of the fact that they were believers, would not confess Him, and therefore they would not be confessed by Christ, and therefore they were not saved. Therefore, it's possible for one to be a believer in Christ and not be saved. I emphasize that because there are many religious leaders who hold that the very split second one believes in Christ as the Son of God, he is saved from his sins. But the Bible makes clear this is not the case. In James chapter 2, verse 24, notice this very simple statement from the Bible. "You see that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." It doesn't say a man isn't justified by faith, but it says he is not justified by faith only, that works or acts of obedience have something to do with it. We're so glad that you've been with us today. We hope that you'll be back with us tomorrow as we continue our study of the great and wonderful privilege of entering the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.